So welcome to Paradigm Shifters. We have a wonderful paradigm shifter today who we've spoken to before. We've been fortunate enough to speak with Penny Pierce, who's been the guru, the teacher, in many ways a leader of our understanding of frequencies as human beings. And welcome to the show, Penny.
Thanks for having me back.
I'm just really delighted to talk to you. And there's been a recent republication, a softback publication of a wonderful book called Leap of Perception. And the thing I want to say about that is I'm excited to revisit this book because the information is almost way bigger than we can handle. And we really need to sit and digest it for starters. Do you think this leap of perception is going to be a leap of evolution as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think, I really have come to the conclusion, I guess, that it's really through our perception that our whole reality occurs. And the way you perceive reality to function is the way it's going to work. And so I think what's coming is that we're shifting from a kind of linear-based perception, where everything's in lines, right, to a spherical and holographic kind of perception, which we can talk more about, of course. But when that internal geometry changes, then the way things function in the world change. So,
Making me think while you speak, what is the holographic awareness of being a human being? Can you explain that to people? It's funny, through the years, we have these terms that we use, and every now and then I have to sit down and do a glossary and go through, now, what exactly does that mean?
Well, let's try to talk about it as a process of changing out of linear into this new thing, because the holographic is a little harder to understand.
Okay.
It's a byproduct, I think, of the spherical. So, but we can get into how this works, and I will explain it. But it's, to just jump in there, it would not give a holistic understanding of anything. Because I've been, really focusing on personal and societal transformation for a really long time, and I wrote this. This is the third book in a trilogy on transformation trilogy. One was The Intuitive Way was the first book, and then Frequency was the second, and then Leap of Perception is the third. And they kind of, each one eclipses the previous one and brings in more information. So, maybe the reason why this is happening in the first place, is that I think we're experiencing this acceleration on the planet.
And where's that coming from?
Well, I've dreamed that it was coming from an event out in the universe that was causing things to, I saw it as like grease going through wheels or gears and moving and all spinning and different kinds of rotations on planets and celestial bodies.
Oh, wow.
Accelerating this energy and coming into our area of the universe. But I don't know what that means, honestly.
I saw, Penny? I saw like huge swashbuckling waves, like kind of like tsunamis, absolutely tossing galaxies. And I kept seeing that for years. Mm-hmm. And I think it's maybe between what your vision is and what mine is, is probably sort of a metaphorical presentation of how there's just action out there, isn't there?
Yeah. But even so, we have been able to monitor the increase of vibration on the Schumann resonance, which is the vibration inside the Earth.
And what is it shifted to?
Excuse me?
How much is it shifted to?
I don't know a percentage, but it's gone like, I'm going to say from 7 to 9 or something like that.
Great. Okay.
But we can experience it subjectively. And everything seems to be speeding up. Information and the time it takes for repercussions to occur from events. And so much so that, we can barely keep up at this point. So I've always been saying that we're shifting out of the information age into the intuition age, where we've been using a lot with of the left brain to handle information.
We sure have, haven't we? Almost too much, right?
Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, before that, it was the industrial age, you know, where we were in the body with machines and invention of the printing press and so forth, and then the computer, which then got so fast that it shifted us into the information age, which then got faster because of the internet. And at this point now we have so much information, we can't process it in an old linear fashion, which is, you know, bit by bit, byte by byte, A, B, C, D, E. It's too slow.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Do you think that maybe we got so are so filled or hyperactive with information that it bursts something in us, that it breaks some of the field limitations? Is that what it does?
Yes, I think it gives us a sense that we can do more than we thought we could, but it also, I think, limits us in a way because we think we need our cell phones and our iPads and everything to do it for us. Where really we have all these intuitive abilities to work with our right brain and our body, you know, and our aura as kinds of minds, of parts of our consciousness. And we can do a lot of these things ourselves and much better than machines can.
Now, do you think that maybe we've been using the iPhones and so on or iPads as training wheels for our intuition?
Yes, I do, except that, you know, I don't know how we'll get away from it because there's such a dependency on these things now. It's almost like a weird addiction. But I think that maybe the new kids that are getting born, you know, they'll come in and be more directly connected through their empathy and compassion and, you know, mental communion with each other to be able to bring some of these innate skills in.
So we're vibrational vehicles, aren't we? We're vibrational first, and you're talking about how the frequencies are moving up, right?
Yes.
And so these kids are being, the new kids are being born with an innate comprehension of some of these things, aren't they? They're really being born as a product of a new vibrational level, right?
Yes, and that's partly because I think they've had a lot of existence within the mental planes where everything is very fast and not so separated like we have it in the physical world. You know, we have this idea of separation through time and space, which slows the consciousness and the energy down. So that when you raise your vibration, everything becomes more merged. And that's what's happening on the planet. The frequencies going up in the physical world and in our bodies.
Okay.
So that we are able now in normal physical reality to start to merge with the non-physical realities, which, you know, years ago we were very separated from by vibration. You know, the physical was much slower, so it seemed like heaven was out there separate from us. Now, the bodies are so fast that we can start to understand that everything's made of energy. We can start to actually sense that there is an inner reality. And that inner reality can be changed by thought and feeling, and that inner reality actually then serves as a kind of inner blueprint for the physical reality. So then we understand, you know, that you can change the inner blueprint by changing your thoughts and feelings, and then the physical reality will change very quickly to match it.
Isn't that magical?
It is. It is. It's wonderful.
So is
but
that
reality
you're calling
is functioning
it
differently, you see, than it used to now because of the speed.
And that's what you're calling the leap of perception?
Yes. Yes. Hmm. So, you know, as things get faster and faster, everything seems to now be coming into the present moment. In other words, it's like the past and the future aren't really out there anymore. They've been swallowed up by this vast present moment, which is the sphere. So if you think of it, you're sitting in the center of a big ball of consciousness and energy.
Okay.
And, you know, we might have called that your aura before.
Mm-hmm.
But now really it's the present moment. It's your conscious mind. It's your actual reality. But in that ball, there's a physical and a non-physical reality happening. And there are many, many, many frequencies of energy in that ball. Everything's there. And what you place your attention on will come into physical reality. What you take your attention out of will dissolve back into just pure energy and consciousness.
So it's not just your own experience that's there in the inner and external reality. It's all of reality?
Well, if you think about it, if you expand your ball mm-hmm. to include other people, then they're expanding their ball to include you. So there's this mutually inclusive sort of experience that we start to have where, you know, we're all in each other's realities.
Hmm.
And that means we start to know each other intimately. That if nothing's outside of you and everything's inside of you, then you must know about it at some level. So
well,
there's a
true.
Kind of innate familiarity or intimacy that happens when you move into the spherical reality. When you are in linear, it's like, here's me and there's you over there with a gap between us of empty space and, you know, like two separate objects, you know, floating in space.
Right.
And that makes us feel separated, and then fear comes in. You know, and then also willpower comes in, because in order to connect with each other, we have to cross that space and make connection, maintain the connection. You know, it takes effort.
Right, it
does.
And
that's the old reality. The new reality, everything's already there. All you have to do is put your mind on it, your attention on it, and poof, it comes in.
Is that, you know, like, does that explain distant healing and that sort of thing?
Sure, sure. Because everything's so interconnected, especially telepathically, you know, and energetically, there's no distance between, you know, one person on one side of the world and on the other side if you go into the inner world first.
Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting, actually. If you look at it, if we surrender to that kind of knowledge and we let ourselves be in that unity, it's very exciting, is it not?
It's so exciting that it's like ecstatic.
So what about war? What about good and evil? What about the separations in politics? And those mm-hmm. are pretty intense questions, but I think they have kind of a common theme to them, do they not?
Yeah, well, we have to backtrack a little bit and understand how the transformation process works.
Please, yes.
And basically, it is about getting rid of your clutter. Getting rid of your fears, your fixed beliefs, everything that's in the way of the soul or the spiritual consciousness coming through your body and, you know, coming into the body, taking shape as the body, and then expressing through you. And actually, the spiritual is already in the physical. So we just have to raise our frequency enough to be able to experience that.
I mean, it's just a higher frequency level of ourself. Is that what you're saying?
Right. So we're seeing the merger of the non-physical and physical realities.
Hmm.
Heaven is in the earth, and the soul is in the personality, running things. It's not, I have a soul. No, it's, I am the soul. You know, and I am an integrated person now. You know, I have all of my parts together at once, and heaven is not out there anymore, right? So As this frequency goes up, then we start to think differently. We start to feel more things, more subtle things, like our empathy increases. Then we realize how interconnected we all are, and then things like telepathy increase, because all you have to do is place attention on someone, and suddenly you get information about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the information is there inside anything you focus on. Like if you focus on a flower and then you keep paying attention to it, you'll start merging with it. First, it looks separate from you, right? You know, mm-hmm. you see it as an object over there. But as you close the gap between it and go inside the flower, then you understand what it is to be a flower or to want to flower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole urge to be beautiful and just give yourself away to the world, you know, and it's all there. And then you find yourself there. You find that's a part of yourself as well.
I love that.
And that's true with everything.
So talk about war.
I was getting there. I'm sorry. I got a little sidetracked.
No. I love what you're saying, because you're laying a beautiful groundwork. And I think a lot of us are concerned about this very thing.
But the process of transformation and clearing the clutter is really about clearing fear and clearing everything that causes consciousness to contract and not move. And so it blocks the flow.
Okay.
You know? And when you can't have flow, then you can't feel the self, the true self, and then you go into fear. And then you go into these fight or flight, you know, responses that come from the adrenal glands, you know. When you go into fear, you either have to control everything and be dominant and attack and be, you know, untouchable, or you evade and leave your body and run away and give your power over to outside authority figures and that sort of thing.
And that's another and then, kind of fear. That's really a huge fear right there.
Well,
it?
Fight or flight. Mm-hmm. It's two methods, or it's sometimes freezing also is part of it. You know, like animals will freeze when to try to be invisible.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of, you know, we have many fear responses. But then those behaviors give way to identities. Like, so we have conservative and liberal political parties
mm-hmm.
that are largely based on fight or flight. And but anyway, so
and we have
seeing,
power issues.
Yes, and that gives rise to power issues because of the need to control and try to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego, of course, then wants to maintain its control over the way it's managed reality. You know, if you've decided that to be safe, you better be a dominant, aggressive personality and get a lot of money and power.
Right.
Well, then you've got to defend that and keep that going. And if you've decided that you'll just be a victim and not notice anything and be apathetic, well, then you're going to defend that one. You've got to keep it going because the ego doesn't want to change, basically. It doesn't want you to change.
Well, now, let me ask you this. Does the ego also experience a rise in frequency? It must, huh?
Well, I think what happens is everything is rising in frequency, and pretty soon, as this fear stuff starts to come up out of hiding, and that's what happens because we used to have a subconscious mind
mm-hmm.
that could hold all the denial and the suppressed fears and the old experiences we didn't want to have to feel in you know, the subconscious blocks, we might call them. They were able to be suppressed, but now that whole subconscious has risen in frequency. And so there's no longer a space for that stuff to hide. So it's kind of popping up to the surface and coming into the conscious mind. And so people are having a lot of upsets and traumas and dramas in their personal lives. And look at politics. I mean, we've got extremes and conflict and every kind of subconscious fear is being epitomized by the candidates, you know, in elections today. And, you know, so it's coming to the surface so we can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully we can clear it. And that is a phase of growth where when the fears start surfacing, people panic. You know, they think the world is falling apart. And then it looks like good and evil. So I'm finally getting to answer your question. yeah, because people polarize into various positions. And so I think that there's a third reality that's people who are really waking up and seeing through the fear and dissolving it and merging and becoming unified, and they're living in a kind of unity consciousness that creates compassion and love, basically, and wisdom. And that's like a third point. You know, in politics, it's not a third party, but it's a third way of seeing how we can be organized. That both of the parties right now are flip sides of the same thing. They're two sides of the fear issue. If you get beyond fear, there's a whole new way of organizing reality. And, you know, we're seeing it in business, for instance. Hierarchical structures are giving way to those flat sort of virtual structures that have come from the internet,
mm-hmm.
you know, where everybody's virtually interconnected and everybody has a say. And there's a lot more transparency and people wanting to know their leaders in a personal way. They can't just stay up at the top of the hierarchy anymore.
I'm doing remote. Some interviews with people who are specializing in consciousness and business, and
mm-hmm.
their leaders, if they're called, everyone is being brought into the center of their own service in the world, all the employees and the leaders and so on. That's one of their major things. I love that.
So their structures are becoming more spherical and circular rather than hierarchical, which is linear.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're shifting, a lot of things are shifting into this new spherical way of thinking, which is all present moment oriented. Everything's already inside you. There's no outside world. If you think of a new thing, your ball has already expanded to include it. And it's just the ball is kind of a temporary focus within the unified field, if you can think of that. It's like a zoom lens on a camera. You are the whole field, but you can't know it all at once and be in a body at the same time. You know, it's too much. You'd blow yourself apart. So you really have to be able to focus in time and space in this kind of fragmented way where you know one thing at a time. And it looks linear, but it's not. It's one thing at a time in each moment. And the moment just, it doesn't really go anywhere. You know, there's no process of growth, really. You are in yourself, and your frequency just keeps rising. It's like, and your movie keeps changing immediately in the moment. You're not actually going anywhere because there's nowhere to go. You're already in your soul enlightened. You know, you don't have to change yourself, really. You just have to get the clutter out of the way. And then there you are. You're back to your clarity.
And the clutter is your fears and your defenses,
yeah.
That sort of thing?
Fixations, fears, and things where you have stopped the flow, which can be, beliefs, things where you've locked down on energy or you talk negatively about, like, I don't do public speaking. No, I can't do this. No, I'm never good at that. Or, you know, any limited statements. Like, I have people that something bad always happens to me in September, you know, and then they've created that reality so that it keeps on perpetuating itself.
So that it increases their ability to handle their own identities. So are you saying identities are going to be released as well?
Totally. That's ego death.
Yeah, and the other thing is security changes in meaning, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. You don't. The soul doesn't need to be secure. Because it's eternal, you know, and so the more you identify as the soul, the safer you feel, and the more you can just move around in the world without needing to attract dangerous situations into your reality. It's just a different frequency. If you go into fear and suspicion, well, then, yeah, you're going to get it again. So it's all about vibration and what you place your attention on.
So let's go back into the word telepathy. I was going to say telepathy. I guess that would have worked. Because telepathy, let me see, empathy. Empathy is often difficult for people, right? But
it's difficult for a couple of reasons. One is if people have been used to being in their left brain and very analytical and structured and sequential and all of that, then when you get into opening the heart and the right brain, there's no structure there. It's all an innate structure that isn't called out. It's inherent. And when you surrender to it, everything works magically. You know, but moving out of the structure into this, at first, you can't feel the new structure because it's invisible. So you have to have faith and trust. And that is what causes, I think, people to have a lot of trepidation as they start to change from their security of their mental structures into a whole different way of knowing the world. You know, and
but with an increase in empathy, you can know the world through its trauma. What I mean is you can really feel the trauma and the fear of other people as well, right?
And that's the second part, is that as you move into this kind of direct feeling, direct knowing, first you have to work with the trust piece where you learn how to experience it for the first time. And then second, we're becoming ultra sensitive today because our bodies are going up in frequency. And so our emotions and our sensitivities going up in vibration and our minds are going up. And so we're sensing energy information now. Things, you know, people come walk by you on the street and you maybe feel weird, but maybe they've got cancer, you know, or their son just died or something, and you're picking up on all this stuff you never had to notice before. But now we're noticing it, but not in a conscious way yet. So we're noticing that suddenly I don't feel right. Mm-hmm. I've been around a bunch of people, and I think I picked up too much information, and so empathy is bad because I'm overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only that there's a skill set that people need to learn about how to work with empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is stay in the present moment, notice what you're noticing, make sense out of it. You know, take the stuff that's coming to you from your right brain and your body that doesn't have language, and then shift it over to the left brain and say, well, what am I trying to tell myself here? What am I noticing right now? Is there something I need to do with this information right now?
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then tell yourself, look, I don't have to know everything all the time. You know, just what's useful. Because otherwise, it's, you know, not efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask yourself to, you know, show yourself what you need to know. And you mm-hmm. don't need to notice everything.
Mm-hmm. But I think with some empathy, it's good to know that someone else is feeling this way and you can just clear that, right?
It's good to know that other people feel similar things to what you feel so that you're not, first of all, not alone in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that you open your heart. You learn to really open your heart.
Much greater compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then you can ask whether it's, you know, okay to offer help, you know, but you don't have to. You know, because we don't have to rescue and save each other anymore.
Sometimes people feel healed or very healed when somebody knows how they feel. It's almost that simple at times, isn't it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Just that connection really,
wow.
really helped a lot.
Well, some of the scary things, I mean, I love what you're saying, and I love the language of leap of perception. Thank you. Let's all perceive from this more holographic and, what did you call it, spherical.
The spherical comes first, yeah.
And the higher frequency. I really love that. So let's jump into, as I started to ask about war and the things like GMO'd food or changing food and water shortage. What do you think can happen with this wonderful leap of perception and all of that?
Well, some of the first things would be that people start realizing how interconnected they are, and that's part of that flat organizational structure where everything's, you know, equal.
Mm-hmm.
And people all have pieces of the puzzle that they can contribute, and there's sort of a desire to do it then. People want to help. They want to get together and create together. It's like a new motive.
Mm.
It's not about being better than somebody else. It's being part of a group that's creating together.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, then there's a kind of synthesis that occurs with this convening of people who are on the same wavelength. And so people may come together who have, like, ideas for new inventions in medicine or energy development or whatever. But I think there will be more and more of these groups forming who will invent things and solve a lot of the world's pressing problems.
And they might be unheard of for a while. They're not just stars, are they?
No, they're just regular people, but they're at the certain frequency level now.
Mm-hmm.
So that the higher knowledge can just come into them easily. And when they get together with others of the same frequency, it amplifies it. In other words, you get together with, let's say, five people who are on the same wavelength. And what happens is you start sharing a kind of a group entity. Like all the people's backgrounds, knowledge, soul, you know, history, everything becomes one pool of knowledge
mm-hmm.
that all the people draw from. You know, and so this
it's like tapping the people tap those cell phones together and each one absorbs the other's information.
Yes. Yeah.
It's kind of like that, eh? Rub up against my shoulder, right?
Yeah, and so the group, the spiritual group entity actually fuels all the minds,
that's
you know, so
wonderful.
It's not each other in a linear way doing it to each other. It's from a vertical kind of drop down, you know, of the group field of energy that starts to accelerate the vibration of everybody.
What a wonderful image all that is, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is happening one-to-one with a relationship entity. People get together and, you know, they're not just doing it at each other. They're receiving information from their combined knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to know this more and more as a common thing coming up, you know, and so we won't be getting into these contentious situations like, you know, how we accuse each other of something that we actually have ourselves. You know?
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about projection. Can you take projection into the spherical consciousness or the higher frequency? Because we all project on each other like mad.
Well, in a linear reality, we do. Because look at projection, it's linear.
Right, I guess that's true, yeah.
In a spherical reality, we see each person as a part of our larger self. So even if somebody's negative, you know, we have that in us as well.
Right.
And there's always a kind of shadow side and a positive side to everything anyway. So if somebody's doing something negative, you know, it might be in order to jar loose a bunch of stuff that's stuck, for instance. You never know, but there's always a kind of an evolutionary purpose to every single thing. And in that spherical, sort of holistic, unified reality, you see the usefulness of everything, the complementary nature of everything. There's no oppositions happening. Because there's not just two positions, there's like 20 positions all coming together, you know, to make up a unit. And so they're not in opposition. And it's the whole creative thing is, how do you get all these factors to weave together to create win-win-win situations?
Mm-hmm.
For everyone, right? Right. Not just for either or. This is both and.
I want us to put up an ad for a spherical Congress.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to the war thing, because I think a lot of us are absolutely plagued by how much of that is going on the planet. How can that be healed, or how does that fit into this new frequencies, these new frequencies? I know they don't happen in a second. In some people they do, but
Well, it is contagious. The more we wake up and get into the new reality and live it and become a thought leader with it, the more it other people notice it and they go, that's right, you know, and then they've had a sense of it all along, and then they open up and do the same. And so it does catch fire. But the war thing comes out of the emptying of the subconscious mind, of the fear of having your individuality decimated, or, you know, having to protect yourself from some dominating forces. And I think that when the subconscious opens up, we become aware of all the polarities we've been holding, the hatred, the like and dislike, the things that threaten us, you know, threaten our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's in a way, it's like narcissism. I think narcissism is a kind of consciousness where the ego has gotten so strong and isolated from the world because the person feels alone. So that they find that they have to have the outer world, which they still see as separate from them and dangerous. They have to have that match up with the way they think the world should be. And so if they can get agreement between their inner idea and the world and the way people behave, then they'll feel safe and they can relax. But they're always vigilant for this. And therefore, if somebody doesn't behave the way they want, they go ballistic and try to, you know, power them into submission, or charm them into submission one way or another. And if that doesn't work, they'll leave and abandon everything. And if that doesn't work, they'll commit suicide.
Oh, wow.
So that's the kind of crazy mind I think we're dealing with right now, is that these extreme individualistic positions that have been locked in by the ego are all fighting each other and going ballistic on each other because we're not agreeing with the way I think it should be, you know, my religion or your kind of politics or whatever it is, you know, instead of seeing that, for instance, I think a lot of conservative and fundamentalist ways of thinking are very similar, whether it's, you know, a religion in this country or whether it's the Taliban or, you know, it's all the same kind of fear-based, you know, belief system-based thinking, but opposite ways, except they're still believing in the same basic thing. So there's commonality there. If they could see the commonality, maybe we'd get out of this.
It's interesting, isn't it? I was taught many years ago, the beginning of my metaphysics explorations, that consciousness would, and this I think is relevant, but I wanted your take on this, Consciousness will rise in people all over the world, maybe not everybody at once, but it'll rise even in military people, even in dictators, in kind of interesting ways, and shift them over time. Do you feel like this spherical consciousness and the higher frequency is kind of affecting people that way as well, like possibly
Absolutely.
With a dictator or, a, you know?
I don't think you can get away from it. You know, we're on the planet, and the planet, the whole field of the planet is rising in vibration. Now, either you embrace it and try to understand it, and then you clear very quickly now because everything's in the present moment. We have instantaneous healing coming now.
Oh, we sure do, don't we? Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instantaneous communication all at once, you know, right brain immersion into knowing, direct knowing. It's really amazing. So either you go forward and merge into this new consciousness and frequency, or you fight it and try to maintain the old way, which is exhausting now because it's taking so much energy to maintain it. And I think at some point, I'm not sure how far off, I think there people who can't make the change will feel like it's too much work to try to stay safe, and they will either commit suicide or that we'll have mass deaths. And I think quite a number of people on the planet may choose to die and reincarnate again and try it again, you know. And I mean, I have dreamed of a kind of bifurcation of the planet at some point where...
I was going to ask you that question, very question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've seen it where, you know, one group gets higher and higher in frequency and the other group stays the same or even, you know, contracts more to try to preserve its security. And it gets so dense that it can't stay. I mean, just it's a physics thing. They can't stay in the planet that's getting so high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And so they may die, and then they may reincarnate into another planet that's exactly like the Earth, the same Earth, but it's at a lower frequency that matches what they are used to, so that it's very compassionate. And we're in parallel realities, like just, you know, one shift away from each other. So nobody's lost.
But doesn't They're have just... to be a different planet. It can be right here, can it not? So that you can't see the ones who are holding on to security.
That's what I mean by a parallel world.
Mm.
But I think there will be a feeling of separate planets, except that they're just in slightly different frequencies.
And it's been said that you wouldn't be able to relate one to the other if you're on a different, in a different reality. You can't make connection to the ones in the original reality or whatever.
If you change your frequency, you can.
Okay.
It would be the same thing as ascended masters who can materialize and dematerialize out of this world.
Mm.
You know, we're going to learn all these consciousness skills that we used to attribute to ascended masters or, you know, gurus and so forth, of superhuman abilities. And I think that we will learn to become transparent. We will learn to die consciously, you know, and maybe, you know, not really have our bodies die in the way that they did before.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all kinds of things that are going to happen. And, you know,
and instead of just sending light to various places, we could actually bilocate, right?
Yes. Yes.
I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So what do you recommend? Because I'm thinking as you speak, this, I love what you're saying. And I'm going, well, you know, movies could be, movies and television could be really transformative, like the movie that we've spoken about before, which is Frequency and various other movies, which I've seen that have a much higher frequency than any others. And I go, oh, we just need to stand by them. You know, they're really prodding us all. We should be making more of those, don't you think?
Well, we should be really making more transformational kinds of films. But we're getting, well, I'm noticing even on television now, the new season of television has these people who are conscious dreaming and, you know, have all these special gifts. But it's always now the special gifts have to belong to superheroes.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't just be like a regular person. And the dreaming one, which sounded great, is all about destruction and bringing evil into the world. And, you know, it's like they had to turn it into the negative, mm-hmm. instead of really seeing, you know, the positive use of these things.
Yes, and I get so frustrated because they are vicarious living. These movies are, and they can really give people such a huge leg up into a much more conscious world, right?
Right, right. Or, you know, they had a show on some years ago called The Listener that was about telepathy.
Oh, yeah, I don't and think I saw
the
that.
The guy was a paramedic, and he could hear and feel people who were in trouble, and they'd go and save them and help them. But it was always like it was destructive to him to know so much, or he got headaches from it, you know. And so, again, the negative side, rather than really learning and showing people how to use empathy.
Did you ever see the series on TV? I think it's Canadian, and where the fellow, the doctor and his wife, he goes into a coma in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
I love
that. That's right. And The Listener was Canadian also.
Yeah.
That's called Saving Hope.
That's right.
And that's a really interesting one.
It wasn't all negative.
And a positive light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they swept it off the TV.
Right. But, you know, there are some that are coming more and more with these themes of, like, time travel now. There's one on time travel. And so these themes are sneaking in, you know, and these are all the abilities that are coming to us. But, you know, without necessarily having to do them with machines.
I love that. You know? Well, what would you recommend people do? Do you recommend that people meditate, breathe? What do you recommend that we do so we can get with the swim, if that's the right word?
Yeah, I think being mindful in terms of engaging with what is happening to you in the day and noticing what you notice and why, and dialoguing with that inner part of your mind that causes you to notice things, so that you see what the soul, are trying to get through to you, to you, the personality. That's one nice practice you can do all day long, and it's not, you don't even have to meditate to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you meditate, use the image of the sphere, that you're in the center of your sphere, and the sphere can open and close and expand and contract, and it moves all over. And as it opens and opens and opens, you get more relaxed, more porous, and you start to include more and more knowledge of other dimensions. So if you expanded way out, you would be including the Akashic Records, you know. If you contract back in, you could go into, you know, a piece of wood and understand the cells inside, you know. And you can travel that way and go into things and know about them.
And communicate with them, too. Huh?
Sure. Mm-hmm. But you communicate with them by becoming them.
Wonderful.
That's the unification model, whereas communicating and dialoguing is still linear, you see. So we're looking at things that are much more about merger and communion and resonance and things like that.
Do you think it's worth communing in such a way with someone who's maybe a very difficult being? Do you think we can go in and apply compassion and heart and so on and lift their frequency?
I do. I think you can go through the outer disturbance around a person that's caused by their belief systems and fears that are rooted, and go right through it into the inner core and connect with people there. And you don't try to do anything for them. You just let them know you're there and that you see them, which is what you were saying before.
That you know who they are.
And picture them with their light shining through them, that mm-hmm. they are in there. They're there, you know, and they're not their fears. And, you know, I think, you know, we all know that when you believe in someone, they try to live up to your vision of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you criticize people, they just live up to that. You know, so
get
I think...
Get defensive, eh?
Yeah, telepathically, we can do a lot to help people. Well, our attitude.
I could ask you a million more questions, but we're almost out of time. But I want to know...
Oh, my gosh.
Who you are. You're fascinating, and I know... a little bit about what started you on this, but could you inform people about who Penny Pierce is and how you know? Have you had like near-death experiences? Are you just a brilliant intuitive, or what's the deal?
I've allowed the path to unfold on its own, to just stay very, very vigilant and watchful about how is this happening, what's going on under the surface. I had been an artist and a designer earlier on in my life, which taught me a certain way of thinking about problem solving and structural things. And so no weird experiences, but bit by bit, I just opened more and more. And I guess in my 20s, I realized I had very unusual dreams that were teaching dreams or prophetic dreams that were not the kind that everybody else had. And I started really working with my dream life and learning from that state. So that was a big thing. And then I used to work with a journal all the time. I'd ask myself questions and then go into a kind of quiet state and something would answer me. And
wonderful.
I'd start writing about it.
Mm.
So I would. It's like we all have this inner master teacher in there, you know, and you can, and it knows what it's doing. You know, if you trust it, you'll get good answers.
Has it got to do with your own special soul journey or unique soul journey or ours, all of ours?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. You're motivated to, you know, if you have a sort of a desire to be a teacher or write a bunch of books on spirituality, you will, you know, if you want to invent some medical device, you will. But I think you can still get at what you know at a deep level by asking yourself these questions and answering them. So that internal dialogue or that process of inquiry, I think Buddhists call it inquiry. I think it's very important. But I don't know. It's just like things come to me. It's like it's all scheduled. And, you know, at a certain time, I start thinking about the next thing. And it comes in, and then I say, oh, this is going to be a book.
Mm. Are you going to have a new book?
I mean, yes, I just finished a new book, and it'll be out next year, but I can't say what it is yet. But it'll be a next step beyond Leap of Perception.
Oh, good. Isn't that wonderful?
And, yeah, it is. It's kind of like evolution keeps on going. You know, it doesn't just stop. And
my understanding of your books is they do activate the listener to involve themselves with what it is you're writing about. It's not about out there, it's about in here, right?
It is, and I try to make them very practical and experiential, and even so that the writing carries the energy of what I'm trying to talk about. You know, I'm really careful about rhythms and things in the book and balancing the left and right brain and those kind of things.
You can really feel them. We've gone through a number of things, and I see by my notes I have many more I could have brought up with you. So is there anything else you'd like to give people before we sign you off?
Well, that one thing we started with about holographic perception is
once
you get spherical and are in the center of your sphere, then you can think about another frequency of a reality and put your attention in that frequency. And that's like a point. You know, there are many, many, many points all running through the field of your sphere. And as you go into any other point, it's like a heart center. So when you're in your own heart, you can feel the hearts of all other beings. You know, any point resonates to every other point. So you can have resonance with another reality and tap into it and know it. You know, so easily, because we're in a holographic reality where everything contains everything else and every point accesses you to every other point. But you have to be in the center of your sphere in order for that thing to start occurring. And then you can, you know, you don't have a future anymore. You have potential realities that are higher frequencies of your own present reality right now. So put your attention on that frequency, match yourself to that vibration, and that reality occurs immediately.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's it's just amazing.
Traveling without tickets.
Right.
Penny Pierce, you've been delightful. How can people get hold of you besides finding your books on, I think, on Amazon and probably on your own site?
The books are available through my site as well, but my site is just my name, pennypierce.com. And there's all kinds of stuff on my website. So, you know, my calendar has where I'm going to be, although I haven't been traveling this year since I was writing.
Oh, okay. But, but I have seen that you do everything. Wonderful workshops at times or seminars and so on, so people can keep in touch with your website.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, Facebook and all that stuff I have as well.
Thank you so much for joining us on Paradigm Shifters. You really have illuminated a tremendous shift in paradigms going on right now, and I appreciate it so much.
Well, thanks for doing the show, too.
Oh, I loved it.
Really useful.
Thank you. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Paradigm Shifters, and love to hear from you, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Thank you. Good night.